Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. I've been doing this for decades, that's right. 4 decades, 40 years of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a 4-time Golden Gloves champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I bring a unique combination to the dance. But straight up, I'm not one of the one buying the pay-per-views. Who is buying the pay-per-views? Everybody I know, not one person. I start this off with each show because I keep asking the eternal question. Who is buying the pay-per-views? Allegedly, 1.5 million Americans bought the Oleg Usyk-Tyson Fury rematch, okay? I don't know one of them. I'm a boxing writer. I used to be a boxing writer. I'm a radio talk show host. I saw the fight. Did you pay for it? And then they go silent on me. I'm serious. It's like, no, I watch it through binoculars in somebody else's window or something like that. Bottom line is, or you went to a strip club like me. But, you know, nobody paid for the fight. So who are the 1.5 million squares that paid for the fight? I don't believe it. I think it's a bit of a sham. I think all the pay-per-view numbers coming in now have to be suspect. Straight up, pay-per-view is dead. They just don't want to realize it. And, of course, coming back on pay-per-view, looks like BLK pay-per-view, Al Haymon is back. That's right, the guy that ran Premier Boxing Champions, the guy with a Harvard degree. Smart guy, no doubt about that. I remember one time when he said to me, I walked up and I said, hey, I'm Pedro. He goes, I don't talk. Say what? I don't talk. Say what? I don't. Hey, you don't talk. He don't talk to anybody. That's what he said to me. I don't talk. And he turned around and walked away. It's like he shunned me, right? But that's what he does with everybody. Al doesn't allow himself to get close to anybody. Of course, he was the guy along with Leonard Ellerbe that brought us the monster that turned out to be Floyd Mayweather. Of course, Floyd Mayweather at one point in time was a good fighter. And of course, he turned into a bit of a carnival circus act now doing exhibitions, making a lot of money, more power to him. But he's not my favorite guy. In fact, you know, he's just not. In fact, if you run into Floyd Mayweather for me, do it with a car. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Lots of guests today. Kingsley Ibe will be here first. Of course, a knockout winner in one round Friday night in Tacoma, Washington. We'll spend some time with Tommy D. Logan Hobson will be here, as will Barry Rabbits in hour number two. Straight up, this is an action-packed show. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. Ring Talk Live Worldwide returns after the break.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
This is JD Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to worldwidesharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Twelve minutes past the hour, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I think let's take it to Arizona, bring in the king, folks. Kingsley Ibe, of course, a knockout winner in one round this past Friday night, Tacoma, Washington, straight up. I got to say that you duplicated the exact thing that Zil Zhang did. Of course, Zil Zhang is the number one ranked heavyweight in the world as far as contenders are concerned in my book. And the bottom line is you lit him up just like, I'm talking about Mr. Alexander, you lit him up just like Zil Zhang did. Did you realize that you had to knock him out one round to equal what Zil did or what?
Yeah, that was not the plan, but, you know, thankfully it happened that way.
What was the plan?
You know, the plan was, the game plan going in there was, the first round was just to establish power dominant, because I expected him to be a faster guy, he's smaller, he's lighter.
How much do you weigh?
287.
Everybody's lighter than you. I'm he's a little bit light. Everybody's light. I mean, hold on. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sport. This is combat sport. You have a size advantage over most guys, even as a heavyweight. How can I put it? What's driving you right now? I know you want big fights and things like that, but, you know, what's driving you? Are you ready to move on to bigger and better fights, or would you like to get more seasoned?
I'm definitely ready for a bigger and better fight. We've been getting seasoned the last 3-4 years. We once had that opportunity, but obviously fell short of that with Jared Anderson. I would love that rematch or any contender.
You know what's going on with Jared right now, right?
Yeah.
He has an emotional support dog, and if the dog can't be in the ring with him, he can't fight. don't laugh. He has emotional issues. I mean, the guy, come on, man. The guy's a head case. Forget about him. Straight up, if who's going to win this fight? Joseph Parker fight. Who's going to win the Parker fight?
Oh, I would bet on Joseph Parker.
Why?
Well, one, he is experienced. Two, I don't think Dynamite has a tough chin. He's a tough puncher. But he's tend to take a knee when tested, like he did with Joe Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
But Parker, I believe he has that dog in him, and he's you know, do or die. But I believe if Parker tests his Dynamite's chin, he will bow down.
That's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a good fight. I mean, anyway, I wish, listen, we wish you the very best of luck, and of course, congratulations on Friday night. Good luck in the future. Stay with us. You know, you're our house heavyweight. We expect you to do great things. And like I told you, if you're patient and things go right, you can have you were bitching about getting stuck at the airport yesterday, weren't you?
Oh yeah.
All right. Time out. If you do this right, Kingsley, and you get to be the man, you'll have your own plane. You'll be like Bruno Mars.
That's the goal, and we'll fly together.
All right. Good enough. I'm not too much into private jets, bro. I'll tell a little story about that a little bit later. But straight up, you have a great day. All the best to you. Hug the old lady. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Pedro. Enjoyed your time.
Kingsley Iba, world-ranked heavyweight, of course, a winner Friday night, and one-round knockout winner, of course, in Tacoma, Washington. Now we go from Arizona to the Bronx and bring in Sir Thomas Dillamuth. And how are you today, sir?
Hey, Pedro, how's everything?
Pretty good. You sound a little animated. What's up, man? What's up today? You need a little coffee?
I'll try to get. Yeah, I got not as big a cup as you got right now, but I've had my coffee and I'm trying to fight this cold, so I'm trying to pump myself up.
You know, I get dogged for drinking McDonald's coffee. I do. I don't eat anything at McDonald's. Not one single thing on the menu do I eat. But I drink the coffee every day, and people dog me for drinking the coffee. And then I show up at these meetings, and these meetings, everybody's got their Starbucks cups and all these other Pete's coffee, all that kind of stuff. I show up like with the ghetto of coffees, you know. They sort of look at me like, you know, hey, you from the hood? Anyway, bottom line is it's Arabic coffee, it's Colombian coffee. It's got all kinds of different blends in it. But
it's
coffee,
better. It's good. McDonald's coffee is good. It's better than Starbucks coffee. Well, Starbucks coffee is just... it's crap.
Yeah, well, here's what's up. This is how I got turned on to McDonald's coffee. I'm in Panama with a Colombian girl, right? You know where she takes me for coffee in the morning?
Not McDonald's.
Yeah, she took me to McDonald's. Wow. That's the shit. We're in Panama City. I said, where are we going? She goes, we'll just go get a cheap cup over here. I said, cheap cup? She goes, yeah. Blah, blah. I said, don't we got a Starbucks? She goes, we don't drink that stuff here. I said, no. McDonald's is the best. I said, are you kidding? Anyway, she wasn't kidding. Where are we at in the Terrence Crawford Canelo Alvarez fight? Is that fight closer to happening than not happening?
I think it's closer to happening than not happening because I think you know you got a guy, the guy you know Turki Alashik. He's trying to make these fights and money talks. And I think if he puts up enough money for Canelo, to take it, I think you have the fight. I think Bud will take it no matter what.
Why should you have to overpay Canelo to fight a guy like me or you or the impeccable one? I mean, because size-wise, Terrence Crawford, allegedly size-wise, this is a mismatch. This is the way most experts realize it. But then again, realize that, you know, Canelo turned pro at 146, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. And I think he's put on a lot of... I think he's even used some Flintstone vitamins in the past to put on muscle. But he didn't have too much muscle in that last fight there. He had a gut.
He did have a gut.
Yeah.
And in the last few fights, he's been looking a little bit overweight. He's looked a little bit big, wearing those baggy pajamas and stuff like that. And, you know, it looked like he's been having fat camps more than anything. And maybe that's why he's taking the quality of opposition he's taken has been, you know, not as, you know, up to par as we would like to see him in the ring with, you know, so. Like Benavidez, you know, and I think Crawford's a tough fight. I mean, Crawford, he's bigger than Crawford. It is a mismatch. It's still intriguing to the fan base. And I agree with you. We shouldn't have to overpay, you know, these fighters so much money just to give the fans, what they want.
Overpay
them
to fight a guy 20 pounds lighter than you.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all. I think it's crazy. You know, this is a legacy fight. I mean, more so for Bud than anything, but, you know, at the end of the day, Canelo's not fighting the guys that us, the fans, want to see him in the ring with, you know, so.
You know, listen, Terrence Crawford is ghetto, okay? I mean, Omaha, Nebraska, he just is. I mean, he's hood. I've been around him. He will step over his mother to win a fight. I mean, I'm just putting it to you like that. I think he's going to give his all, and I think he's going to catch Canelo with some good shots. And what he catches Canelo with, how Canelo responds to those shots, that's what we'll see. Maybe Canelo, you know, listen, there comes a point in times, there comes a point in a guy's career where he can't take a shot anymore. when he doesn't take a shot all that well. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know when Canelo's going to wake up in the morning and be shot. Of course, I thought that he hasn't looked good in his last couple of fights, as you noted. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, of course, the Mexican fans, and primarily, they just keep paying for him. They pay for him to fight the impeccable one in the other room.
Yeah, that's true. And kudos and props to Canelo for taking it. I mean, it is, you know, it's prize fighting. So, you know, why not? I mean, it doesn't make us, the fans, happy, you know. I think Canelo's a very good fighter. I don't want to take anything away from him. It's just that, you know, at this point in his career, I think he should be fighting, giving us at least one fight that the fans, you know, would like to see, and give us, you know, if not Benavidez, then I guess, you know, Crawford's the second best opponent right now. So,
okay. Daniel Dubois taking on Joseph Parker. Is Dubois' chin suspect?
I think it's a little bit suspect, but it's the heavyweight division. You know, everybody's chin is a little bit suspect because these guys are going in the ring against guys that can really hit hard. So I think it's a little bit unfair to say if a chin is suspect or not in a heavyweight division. You know, we've seen Joshua get dropped multiple times and, you know, come back and win fights. And, you know, Fury's been dropped a bunch of times and he's come back and win fights. You know, the only one I haven't seen dropped is Usyk, but I think, you know, Dubois' chin, you know, he was stopped by Usyk at the end of the day after, you know, the long 2.5 minute break they gave Usyk, you know, for the supposedly low blow. But, you know, Joseph Parker's not really a big puncher. You know, I expect it to be a good fight. Both guys are hot right now. Both guys are nice little winning streak, you know. But I just think it might be a little bit unfair to question, you know, a heavyweight's chin, if you know.
Well, to question anybody's chin, this is what people don't realize. When you get hit on the chin, you short circuit. I mean, that's the best way I could put it, is that if you get hit on the chin hard enough, you can cuss slightly for a second, and your brain shuts down for a second, just for a millimillion of a second, but you know you've been cracked.
Yes. No, I agree. Definitely.
You know, and so. but yikes, getting hit by a heavyweight. I mean, that's why people like heavyweight boxing. Of course, that's why, you know, the knockdown, drug out bouts, because Ron Lyle and George Foreman. Speaking of George Foreman, he turned 76 the other day, born in 1949. Of course, the former two-time world heavyweight champion. You know what Michael Moore is famous for?
Losing to George Foreman?
Getting knocked out by an old man.
By an old man, yeah.
I mean, come on, man. George suckered him into that. George told me, he goes, I was playing him. I was letting him hit me, and I was just waiting to make my move. He goes, and when I made the move, he goes, I knew it was over.
Yeah, and then Michael Moore, you know, sour grapes, always says that Foreman got lucky.
So, you know, Michael Moore was, as a light heavyweight, he was never beat. You got to give him props at 175. He was never beat. Not that he fought the WBC or the WBA guys at that point in time. He was a WBO title holder. But at one point in time, I think it was like 25-0 with 25 knockouts. So you can't knock him at light heavyweight. And moving up, he was at a size disadvantage. And you know, Tommy D, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports.
Yeah.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The agent says, if I don't play that song, I'm in trouble. Straight up, this is the king. I'm talking about the shot caller for Sunday. No, no, not Thomas Dillamuth, his agent. Straight up, you're Ring Talk. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. In case you didn't know it, yesterday there was boxing on the Peacock. From Sheffield, the UK. Of course, we'll talk about the Peacock. Of course, that's not a sports network or anything like that for the most part. But bottom line is, Caroline Dubois and Jessica Camara battled to a draw for the WBC 135-pound, obviously, female title. Of course, Dubois and Camara were butting back and forth. And guess what? Camara got butted. The fight was stopped, but she got knocked down in the first round as well. It looks like the women are all getting into butting bouts now. Are they following Katie Taylor's key to success here?
I don't know. I mean, it looks a little weird. I mean, Dubois hurt this girl bad. I thought she was going to end up stopping her. And then I don't know what happened. It's a lot of awkwardness. I'm not sure if it was done purposely or not. It's hard to kind of tell. But I like Dubois. She's the younger sister of Daniel Dubois, correct?
Yeah, I believe she is, you know. Yeah. But, you know, more power to her, and she seems to be able to fight a little bit. I was looking at her resume. It looks like she could fight a little bit. And I guess there is a little pressure on you when your brother is a noted heavyweight, or a so-called one of the heavyweight champions, per se. What is the IBF title holder, right? The International IBF Black Champion, Federation.
Yeah. Yeah, the IBF champion.
Well, no, so, no. When Bob Lee started that, I got to remind you, when Bob Lee started that, he told me that black fighters weren't getting a fair shake from the WBC. They tend to be favoring Mexican fighters, a.k.a. Canelo Alvarez. And then you had the WBA, which was favoring South American fighters like Roberto Duran.
No, I remember you telling me, and I sort of agree with you, and I can understand, you know, why they do it. I like the IBF because I like the rule that they have with, you know, the title matches where you can't go over 10 pounds on fight night.
Yep.
The you know, I like that rule. I think that's real good for boxing because, you know, we've been seeing a lot of these, you know, guys fighting at smaller weights.
Are you bringing up Devin Haney?
No, I did not bring up Devin Haney. You brought up Devin Haney.
Time out. But didn't Devin Haney weigh like 140 pounds in a weight and then weigh 172 pounds in a fight?
Yeah, against a guy that came in about 180 pounds in Ryan Garcia. Oh my God! I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
You know what? You can knock him all you want. You can knock him all you want. Talk about Ryan Garcia for his craziness and that. He's still the number one guy. I mean, money wise,
him and Tank Davis are the number one and number two guys. I mean, you know, Ryan is not going to make as much money, you know, fighting anybody else other than Tank Davis, though. Like, You know, so I wouldn't say he's the number one guy.
No, as but far he, as, but he, but money. You don't think he can make more money on his own than Davis can make on his own?
No, because the fight before the Tank fight, he didn't sell out that arena. I think they fought in Texas, and he didn't sell out that arena.
Put him in L.A.
Put him in L.A. Yeah, now he's supposed to.
There is no, no. The impeccable one just said to me, "There is no L.A."
Oh, because of, yeah, that's I feel bad for what's going on.
You know, I was talking to Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, yesterday, he was telling me, you know, I want to get out and walk and this and that, but the air is really bad, and he's down there. He's in Santa Monica on the boardwalk right there on the beach, and I could tell he was hurt. You know, he was just hurt. I mean, he's got all kinds of things going on in his life at the age of 94, but he was hurt because friends of his were displaced, and, you know, I mean, his friends got money for the most part, but you're still being, you know, that's getting burned out of a house is pretty heavy.
Yeah, my brother lives out in Hollywood. And they had to relocate for a while. They had to go to Anaheim because the air quality is really bad. So he's in Hollywood, which is pretty much right there. So he had to relocate as well for a while. So
speaking of Hollywood, remember Tony Danza with the movie Taxi, the former professional boxer?
Yeah.
So I'm on Sunset Boulevard. It's a big disco down there. We're like kicking it out, and I can't remember. It was like in the 70s, about the late 70s. Anyway, so I hear, you know, that's what I'm hearing. Like, I said, man, somebody's doing blow. And guess who walks out of the toilet stall?
Who's the boss?
Tony Danza. Tony Danza. I'm not saying he was snorting that cocaine. I'm just saying he came out and then he went straight to the sink and he put some water in his nose.
Hey, it's disputable though. It's debatable then.
Yeah. Bottom line, he never made it as a fighter because he couldn't take a punch.
I thought he was a baseball player too, but yeah, he's out here. He's from New York. I think he's from Brooklyn. I think somewhere in Brooklyn. He was at the last fight here in the Garden, the top ranked card. He was in the crowd there.
Well, that's good. All right, now I got to ask you about this. Sam Goodman and the Noah Noy is off. Of course, it was rescheduled. It was supposed to be December 24th, and Goodman got cut. Then it was supposed to be January 24th, and Goodman got cut again. Listen, we're talking about bad corners here. I mean, if my guy is in a title fight, got a big fight coming up, and he's a white guy especially, I'm going to have him wearing a full-face mask. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to get cut.
Yeah, especially in this. I'm assuming he would have got a big payday, too. That's really bad by his camp.
And they didn't muck it up twice. They didn't muck it up once. They did it twice.
Twice, yeah, exactly. Like two times. That's pretty bad. And an undefeated fighter, you don't know when you're going to get an opportunity like this again. You know, that's bad business.
Listen, they were paying him to be lunch meat over there. He was going to be lunch meat for Inouye, wasn't he?
I think he was. I think he could box a little bit, but he had no punch. The guy only had like six knockouts. And
poor guy.
26 fights.
It's like going into a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was there to lose, but, you know, it would have been good. He's an undefeated fighter. I think he earned it in some way, you know, being undefeated and, you know, a challenger, you know, to get his spot. But, yeah, he was there to get beat up. But you never know. He could have outboxed him. Who knows? I highly doubt it. Monster Inoue, to me, is pound for pound, either the number one or number two best fighter in the world right now.
Okay, Clarissa Shields is going to fight somebody by the name of Danielle Perkins. Daniela Perkins, of course, with the WBC and WBA female heavyweight title. Is this significant or is it posturing? I mean, talk to me. Is she fighting something? What is Clarissa Shields in 2025?
I think she's trying to, you know, it's hard for me to explain it. Now she's fighting at heavyweight. I think she's trying to prove that she is the best female fighter in boxing today. She's got multiple division championship, multi undisputed division champion. I mean, she probably is the best woman fighter. If not, probably she is the best woman fighter in boxing. I think she's just trying to, you know, bring more attention to the sport, bring more attention to women's boxing, and to show that she's, you know, levels above everybody else as far as when you're talking about women's professional boxing.
Okay. You know, the baddest woman that ever boxed was, don't you?
Ann Wolf. I forgot her name.
Ann Wolf.
That's
they called her Ann the Man Wolf. I tell you, no, because she used to beat up. She beat up guys in the gym. She went. I forget who it was, but she lit a couple guys up at the Times Square gym in New York City. I was like blown away by it. And they were guys. Anyway, she's supposed to fight. She wants to fight Leila Ali. So Leila Ali is at Brown University for some fight card. We have Kevin McBride and Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's last real fight. Anyway, bottom line is we're doing this fight card. We're at the press conference. So I asked her. I asked Leila Ali, "When are you going to fight Ann Wolf?" And then she says to me, "Who's that?" And I said to her, "You know, that would be like me asking your father who Joe Frazier is." I mean, yeah, so Leila Ali never did it for me. Did she do it for you?
She was okay, but no, she never really did. I liked Ann Wolf. To me, Ann Wolf was the best.
She beat up Joe Frazier. She beat up Joe Frazier's daughter. Joe Frazier's daughter was a secretary. No, she was a Jacqueline Hyde Frazier. That was her name. And I met her, and she was doing the PR work for Joe Frazier's gym in Philadelphia. This day, she was like heavy set, a little heavy in the whole 9 yards. So she trimmed down and she fought Leila Ali. But that was that was a scam.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, a fight that's not a scam. Give me a real quick prediction. Saturday, February 1st, undefeated David Morrell and David Benavidez, of course, Battle of the Davids. What's going to happen?
I'm going to stick with it. I've been looking at Benavidez's camp and him training, and he looks a lot better than what we saw in those photo shoots. But I don't want to change my pick. I'm sticking with Morrell. I think Morrell outboxes him, and he wins. You know, he wins a close unanimous decision on the scorecards.
Is there a chance that David Benavidez's peak came and went?
There is a good chance of it, but I think he's still in good shape. He's always training and stuff, and he's still a solid fighter. But there is a good chance. You know, he's got the experience. Over Morrell. And but you know, for him to have that big fight, it's kind of messed up. Canelo did him kind of dirty and did dirty not presenting that fight to him. And we're gonna see. I think this is probably gonna be his coming out party. But
okay,
I'm still going with Morrell.
Okay, we're running up here on the clock. A hard break here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Have a great week. Hug Tamara and the agent for me.
You got it, Pedro. Take care.
You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Sir Thomas Dillamouche calls the shots on Sunday. Coming up next, Logan Hobson, stand-up comedian extraordinaire, formerly the man that started CompuBox along with Bob Kenobi a long time ago. Straight up, we'll talk about him and some of his ringside experiences, of course, with Logan Hobson coming up on the break right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network, as well as Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
Coming back with the AWB, of course, the Average White Band. Their lead singer, when they retired a few weeks ago, is Brent Carter. Brent Carter just signed with a big band. He won't tell me what the band is, but straight up, he signed a new contract with a new band, and I guess that's going to be music history we'll talk about next week when Brent Carter spent some time. Of course, Brent, the former lead singer for both Tower of Power and the Average White Band. Now, a guy that is the lead singer when it comes to a lot of things. We'll talk about he's a comedian. Of course, he put together CompuBox a long time ago. When did you start CompuBox with Bob Kenobi? When did that first hit the stage?
How you doing there, Pedro? That was in 1985, quite a few years ago. I think I'm getting old.
That was a year, of course, Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns did it, April 15, 1985, of course, at Caesar's Palace. Now, before we get into your stand-up career, I want to get into that pretty deep. Talk to me about the great moments you had ringside. If you started watching those fights in 1985, you probably sat ringside for more fights than me, obviously, and maybe anybody.
Well, I was a boxing writer at UPI before CompuBox. So I got to, I started covering boxing for UPI, and, one of the great moments there. I was there for Ronaldo's, my first heavyweight fight I covered was Ronaldo Snipes versus Larry Holmes.
Yeah. Larry got Pittsburgh, dropped.
At the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh. And yeah, I had my lead all written. I was all set up. I was ready to go with Larry Holmes. And then all of a sudden, he drops Larry, and I'm like, wow. And Larry, Larry just made it up.
Yep. Now, I'm glad you sort of brought up your career at UPI because you interviewed Aaron Pryor the day after the Alexis Arguello fight, and I accuse those guys of taking the stuffing out of the gloves and wrapping Pryor's hands in plaster of Paris. Let me sort of explain this to the audience and you before we get going. They took the stuffing out of the gloves, but it wasn't enough. So what Panama did was he wrapped plaster of Paris around Aaron Pryor's hands, and then he put the regular wrap over the plaster of Paris. So once that was inspected by the athletic commission down there in Florida, once they came in and tested the wraps, they put their hands on the wraps, said, okay, it's good. Panama Lewis sprayed them with water, and they became casts. And then you saw Pryor's hands the next day. What did his hands look like? Because hands after a professional prize fight usually aren't all busted up.
Yeah, I was a young reporter at that point, and I did not have a lot of experience in. So when we went to Pryor's hotel room the next day to interview him, his hands were, swollen grotesquely. And I had never seen hands busted up like that since. So I didn't I just thought that, at the time, it wasn't a big deal to me. It wasn't a big deal, not being that versed and seeing a lot of hands. So, but years later, when the Resto Collins, right, when that happened, I thought, oh, wow, Panama Lewis, and I thought of Pryor's hands being grotesquely swollen like that. And I said, I'll bet anything that the stuffing was taken out of those gloves.
The stuffing was taken out and the hands were wrapped in cast. You know what? I cornered Pryor. The gloves disappeared in the ring. They've never been seen again, ever. They disappeared. I mean, they should be in the Hall of Fame if it was a 1982 fight of the year. OK, and they're nowhere to be found. And I asked Pryor about this three different times on three different places, and he wouldn't answer it. In other words, he wouldn't say no, and he wouldn't say yes. And then, of course, I had the confrontation with Panama Lewis. I think you were there that day when the Mike Tyson, Buster Mathis return of Mike Tyson took place in Philadelphia. I came close to knocking Panama around there. Don King said to me, easy, Pedro, easy, Pedro. No, Panama Lewis was the worst piece of POS I've ever encountered in my entire life as far as boxing was concerned. He was the worst.
Yeah, I mean, you look. I mean, the beating that Arguello took in that fight and that knockout was so vicious, and that cut. You know, it's kind of odd that he cut. He cut a hard, like almost diagonally. Not it wasn't a normal cut that he suffered. You know, and almost like, you know, he had been hit by a blunt. You know, it was a blunt force trauma, not a normal boxing cut.
Well, I forget what the guy's name was. His last name was Sir, and he ran the Pennsylvania Boxing Commission, and he gave Panama Lewis a license. And I'm screaming at the guy, and I'm on the air, and I'm screaming. He walks past us. We're doing some radio in Philadelphia pre-fight, and he walks past me, and I'm screaming at the guy. I said, "How the hell can you allow Panama Lewis to have a boxing license to work a corner?" And they did. He worked a Mike Tyson corner that night. How could you allow him to even be in the arena?
Yeah. I mean, after what you look at Arguello, you look at Collins
is dead.
He's dead. It just ended that kid's career.
Unfortunately,
ended his hope.
Yeah. Well, Billy Collins Jr., his father, I think it was Ali told me his father was one of the best uncrowned fighters ever came across in his life, but he had an alcohol problem. That's what Ali told me. So anyway, the kid turned into a big-time drunk. Not that he wasn't drinking beforehand, but he turned into a big-time drunk, and he rolled his car. He was drunk, and he rolled his car. He couldn't see anymore. They took away his vision.
Yeah. It is one of the most tragic stories in boxing history.
You know what Collins is saying to his father? He goes, "Dad, it's like I'm getting hit with an ashtray." Evidently, the mother used to hit him with an ashtray.
Oh, man. it couldn't prepare him though for the assault he suffered in the ring. That was assault. That wasn't boxing.
No, exactly. All right, let's go back to some of the most memorable moments you spent ringside. Talk to me.
There's so many. You know, I just want to say, I feel so privileged to have, you know, had that run with CompuBox for 20 years, and with HBO and ESPN Boxing, and doing the Olympics in 88. It's I have those memories. I'm 70 years old now, and I'm doing property management. I have those memories, and it was a hell of a run. But, you know, some of the most memorable nights, well, Ali Burb, you know, when I was with the UPI at the time. Ali Burbick, the drama in the Bahamas. I remember Milton Richmond, the sports editor at UPI, called me in, and I was young reporter, and he goes, "Well," and he never called me Logan, he always called me Hobby. He goes, "Well, Hobby, I'm sending you to the Bahamas to cover Muhammad Ali's fight. Let's see if you can hit the fastball, kid," because he was a baseball writer.
All right. You know, that was at that fight, you know, Don King got his ass kicked by the Muslims.
Yeah.
The Muslims are nonviolent people. Yeah, right. But they kicked the snot out of they beat Don King's ass.
We didn't know the fight was going to happen. There were problems with the funding of the fight. People weren't they didn't get their money up front, and people were saying they're not going to fight. And was it Don Cornelius? You know, the promoter was running around. He finally got the money together, and you know, but the Queen Elizabeth Stadium in the Bahamas, that was a baseball stadium, converted baseball stadium, and somehow they forgot to bring a bell, so they used a cowbell at ringside to mark the rounds.
That Don Corn was it the same Don Cornelius that was in the Soul Train guy?
Another one.
Hey, the Soul Train guy. Let me tell you, you don't tell people you're from San Francisco when you're from San Francisco. Let me tell you why. When I met Merv Griffin, and I was doing some television in Atlantic City Resorts International. It was his hotel at the time. And I met Merv Griffin. This was before we went on the air. And he came up and he shook my hand. He goes, "Pedro, where are you from?" I said, "San Francisco." And then he gave me the little finger rub. You know what I'm talking about? Right? So, yeah, the certain guys you don't tell, you just don't tell them you're from San Francisco. You tell them you're from Northern California. Just doesn't pay, man. Just, and believe me, it doesn't pay. And Don Cornelius, he was at one of the Tyson fights around 1995 at the MGM Grand. I think maybe it was like the comeback fight against Peter McNeely. But I shook hands with him, and he did the same thing to me when I told him. I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Where are you from, Pedro?" "San Francisco." And he like sort of gripped my hand a little bit differently. So from that point forward, I realized, don't tell anybody where you're from.
Yeah, basically, these days, with all the division, Pedro, I just tell people I'm from North America. And I just leave it at that. Because you don't know who you're going to offend these days.
Okay. Well, no. Don't you offend people regularly as a stand-up comic, though?
Yeah, I think I offended somebody the other day when they "How's it going in L.A.?" I said, "Well, you know what? Honestly, I needed a break, a news break from Jimmy Carter's funeral. That, you know, God love me, he was a wonderful man, but that funeral went on endlessly. He was in Atlanta.
Bury him.
He's in Washington." I was like, "This guy has logged more miles dead. We could fly him out on enough frequent flyer miles to California to cremate him." I mean, come on. I wanted a break from the funeral. So mark me safe from Jimmy Carter's funeral.
Well, okay. What'd you think of what was your experience around Marvin Hagler? I'll throw some names at you. What'd you think about working around Marvin?
Marvin was terrific. Marvin, you know, he was a humble, hard worker. You know, he's a blue collar guy. You know, he had a quiet, almost a quiet confidence. Like, you know, some people thought he was arrogant. I didn't think he was arrogant. I just thought he had a quiet confidence. Now, you know, when Hagler, that was one of my favorite night, I would say, in boxing at ringside was Hagler Leonard.
Uh-huh.
There was the personality clash, Leonard coming out of retirement, it was huge. And at ringside that night, it was electric.
Without a doubt. And you know, I think Ray was the benefactor of some Flintstone vitamins for that fight. Do you know what Flintstone vitamins are? Anabolic steroids. I mean, come on, man. Ray's body. Ray. Come on.
Now, Pedro. I don't think. I'm sorry. I don't think he was all right. I just think he was in. We went to his training camp in
Florida,
South Carolina,
North Carolina,
and he was in. Mentally, he was in the zone. He got himself into the zone for that fight. And he watched Hagler against Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I got the I know my style. I know I can beat this guy." And that's why he was at ringside for that with HBO, Hagler Mugabe, and said, "I can beat this guy."
When Roberto Duran came down the steps and Ray was doing the TV that night, I'll never forget what Ray said to him. "You can beat him." That's what Roberto told Ray that night. And, of course, that was in 1983. And, of course, Leonard waited almost, 4 years, 3.5 years before he fought him. Ray wanted to make sure that Hagler was diminished. I don't care what Ray says. He wanted to make sure Hagler was at the end.
He's so smart. He had the, they fought with the 12-ounce gloves. You know, they had the larger ring. He crafted that whole scenario. I remember when he was sparring, before the fight, I remember he'd come in. He was almost choreographing how he was going to come out at the bell.
Well, you know what's funny is that me and Marvin talked on three different continents about this, debated on three different continents, North America, South America, and Europe. And this is how I played Marvin, because you didn't go at Marvin straight up. I said to him, well, you know, Marv, you gave away the first four rounds, and then you allowed Ray to steal three rounds down the stretch. So that's how I had it 7-5. You see how I eloquently put that?
Yeah. You know what, Major? I didn't realize you were such a good boxer. I thought you were more a slugger, but yeah, that's good boxing right there.
Well, without a doubt. Listen, when are you appearing again? When's your next stand-up gig?
I'll be appearing in a few weeks, probably at the at some local clubs. I haven't got the schedule straight, but I'm doing a show on March 6th. It's for this comedian and my mentor, Adam Barnhart, who's hilarious. Okay. We're doing a show, but I do shows. I've been at the Comedy Store and at the Hollywood Improv, and I'm just getting back in gear for the new year.
Well, you have a great year, man. I thank you so much for appearing today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Logan.
My pleasure and my honor, Paige. Always good to talk to you, pal.
The great Logan Hobson, one of the co-founders, along with Bob Kenobi, of CompuBox. Of course, CompuBox, big in the world of punches counted. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring. I call them the bean counters. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live or what? As long as you understand, you don't have to
worry. Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
God bless America, Pedro. Sports my life. Hey, baby.
The wire-haired wonder himself, of course, the King of Nap, Don King. I once called him the King of Nap, and he said, right on, that's pretty cool. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. The IBF Cruiserweight Champion is 200 pounds is the cruiserweight limit. Jayapaya Opataya, of course, now out of Australia, 27-0, 21 KOs. He beat a guy by the name of David Nakai, who was 10-0 coming in. Let me tell you about David Nakai. This is how you get a world title shot today. He beat a guy that was 3-0. He beat a guy that was 5-6. He beat a guy that was 2-1. He beat a guy that was 1-2. He beat a guy that was 4-0. He beat a guy that was 3-4. He beat a guy that was 3-20. Wait, I'm not done. I'm at 3-20. He bought a guy, beat a guy that was 30-10. He did beat a guy that was 12-0. TKO'd him in the Michael Seitz. TKO'd him in 2024. May be exactly. Fought Tom Carpentier, was won by TKO there. And, of course, he lost to Jayapaya, and it was a one-sided fight. But guess what? How do you have 10 fights against 10 stiffs and end up being a world title challenger? I mean, come on, man. That sort of reeks of the International Black Federation. But this guy's not black. He's Australian. Straight up Australian and New Zealand. That was a matchup down there. I wish him the best of luck in making money, but straight up, come on, man. Something's up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up, hour number two, I'll bring in Barry Rabinstein. The British Hare will be in the house talking boxing and more on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Force Network, and live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The impeccable one is in the house, Bailey Peck. He will take it away. We're coming back after the sports break.
Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. Nuggets Nikola Jokic and Russell Westbrook made NBA history after becoming the first pair of teammates to record a triple-double in the same game twice in a single season. Jokic finished with 35 points, 15 assists, and 12 rebounds in a Nuggets win over the Brooklyn Nets 124-105. Westbrook also finished with 25 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. Other games on the NBA scoreboard, the Bucks travel to Orlando and get a win over the Magic 109-106. Pacers showing some fight in a win over the Warriors 108-96. Pelicans on the road against the 76ers win it 123-115. Kings and Celtics, Kings take the W 114-97. Thunder thundering down on the Knicks and on the road W 126-101. And the Bulls take it at home over the Wizards 138-105. On the ice, NHL action on the scoreboard. Canucks blank against the Hurricanes. Hurricanes in a big at-home W, 2-0. Canadiens and Capitals all the way into overtime. Canadiens sneak pass, winning 3-2. Red Wings and Blackhawks. Red Wings take it in a big fashion, 5-3. Kings and Jets also in overtime. Kings take it 2-1. The Sharks and the Utah Hockey Club mirror that score. Utah takes it 2-1. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Responsible. Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. It's time for one of the truly fun 3 days in the NFL, Wild Card Weekend, a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of playoff football, with a doubleheader on Saturday, a tripleheader on Sunday, and a Monday night showdown now with a twist. Our thoughts and prayers go out to those who've lost their lives in the greater Los Angeles area due to the wildfires, and those who have been affected in some way by the ongoing tragedy in Southern California. I mention twist because the Monday night game between the Minnesota Vikings and host Los Angeles Rams has now been moved to State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. We might have a play on that game as the weekend progresses, but we will have a play on the Saturday lid lifter in Houston as the Texans host the other Los Angeles team, the Chargers, at NRG Stadium. Let's take our 9-7-2 regular season record and go to work. The Texans rested most of their starters last weekend and still won to clinch the AFC South and thus get home field for this game. Those starters needed the time off. Houston is the most banged up of the two teams. Captain Obvious checking in here, but you obviously see more injuries in an 18-week season than the old 17-week one. The Chargers' defense has been their calling card this season, and we know the importance of that as we head to the postseason. But know that the Texans held opposing quarterbacks to an 83.7 passer rating, which is third best in the NFL. The Chargers are 6-3 in their last nine, while the Texans were sub-500 at 4-5. The Texans, though, have been positive money as an underdog under second-year head coach D'Amico Ryans, and home dogs in this first round have fared well, hitting over 60%, not getting the respect I think they deserve. Justin Herbert of the Chargers leaves Houston still looking for his first postseason win as a quarterback. Let's play the Texans +3. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best? What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, January 12th, 2025. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I've been doing this for 4 decades. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever-so-confident host. When I say confident, think about this. I'm a 4-time Gold Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. But straight up, I've got the British hair in the studio. That's right. Barry Rabbins is here, so we'll be talking boxing with Barry for most of the hour. But if you'd like to join us on the toll-free, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7510. Of course, Jaya Pia, the world cruiserweight champion, I talked about him at the end of the last hour, of course, he fought a guy that used to spar, according to a couple of people, this and that, but I'm just not big on guys. When you fight guys that only got 10 fights, this guy, Hussein Sakara, had 10 fights going in. A lot of guys he fought were bums, and straight up, they were sparring partners. What I'm trying to tell you is, if ever there was a setup, that was it, no doubt about it. Now, speaking of setups. Oleg Usyk, of course, and Tyson Fury. It wasn't a setup. It was the World Heavyweight Championship. Oleg Usyk won. But Barry Rabbit thinks that it was a little bit closer than I thought it was. We'll talk about that in depth with Barry. And, of course, Barry's going to pre-cap forecast. Barry's picking David Morrell. Everybody's picking David Morrell but me. Of course, I'm talking about the David Morrell, of course, David Benavidez fights. Battle of David is going to go down February 1st in Las Vegas. I'll be at the T-Mobile Arena that night. No doubt about that. Mark Rizzo, my attorney, did you get me the seat? Anyway, bottom line is, when you got an attorney that's got, he used to be Red Fox's attorney. I'm telling you, my attorney, Red, used to be Red Fox's attorney, so he's got juice there in Vegas. When I tell him, hey, Mark, I need to come to the fight, he says, okay, I'll set you up with a couple of ringside seats. So it's pretty cool. I get to sit with my lawyer, and I get to sit ringside, so I'll be having a good time. February 1st, 2025, of course, the big fight, Eric Morrell and David Benavidez. Benavidez got the experience, 28-0, some 29-0, something like that. And, of course, Eric Morrell only 11-0. But guess what? Everybody's picking Eric Morrell except me. We'll talk with Tommy. Take it back. We'll talk with Bear Rabbits about that and more after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Saudi Radio. And, of course, as I stutter along here in the open for hour number two, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The impeccable one is back. He says he had COVID, but guess what? We got pictures of him on the beach in Rio.
I'm an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the That's tenth right. of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two for January 12, 2025. We take it to our on-the-ground reporter in Santa Monica regarding the fire. Larry Merchant, is everything okay down there?
No, I happen to be in a place that's okay, but everything is very much not okay around us.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Is your daughter and son-in-law, are they okay?
Yeah, my family people are okay. We're all just out of range of what's going on. But I happen to be in a place that so far seems to be oblivious almost.
Well, the 25th floor on the Santa Monica Beach, hopefully, I have a hard time for the fire getting that far, but the bottom line is, I'm sort of stunned. All I can say is I'm stunned, Larry. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, neither am I, and neither is anyone else.
Okay. Outside of that, how you feeling?
Outside of that, I feel pretty good. I actually went out for a walk in the park yesterday with a big heavy mask on, and there were quite a lot of people out.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see the Oleg Usyk Tyson Fury rematch a couple of weeks ago?
Of course.
Okay. Did you buy that on pay-per-view?
Yes.
You're the only one I know that bought that fight on pay-per-view. Even though 1.5 million Americans bought it, everybody I know, Godfather, when I ask them, did you watch a fight, they take the Fifth Amendment. In other words, they stole the fight.
Well, I haven't had to steal any fights recently.
You know, I was thinking about your HBO tenure, this and that. When you look back at your dealings with Marvin Hagler, I was always delicate when I talked. There was a couple of guys I was delicate with when I addressed them. I didn't take them on face first and head on. And Marvin Hagler was one of those guys. Did you dance around Marvin too like I did, or did you go straight at him?
Well, I just did my job. Marvin was always comfortable with me. He was a bit difficult, not expansive as a television guy, except what he did in the ring with his hands and fists and feet. But I never had a problem with him, no.
The last time I saw Marvin was in Mexico City, and of course, there was a WBC convention, and they only had Wi-Fi in the lobby of the hotel. So I was down in the lobby of the hotel, I think it was about 1999, 2000, something like that. And Marvin Hagler comes downstairs to me, and he says, Pedro, where's everybody at? And I said, the local brothels? And he started laughing. And that was the only time I ever got Marvin Hagler to break a smile.
Well, it sounds like the only time I ever heard of Marvin smiling too much. I did have a few times with him after his career. Mm-hmm. And he was always forthcoming and if not, a person bursting with all sorts of stuff.
Okay. Were you impressed with Mr. Usyk's performance against Tyson Fury a fortnight ago?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought he fought a virtually perfect fight.
Yeah, he definitely has got his game down, no doubt about that. And unfortunately, he probably won't make enough money to fund the Ukrainian cause. With the administration changing hands, are you worried about Ukraine, Godfather? I mean, you have Ukrainian blood in you. I am, and I'm not even Ukrainian.
Well, I don't really think of it as part of my presence. I'm concerned that some kind of a deal will be made by Trump, and he can announce a triumph, but it is what it is, and they fought valiantly against a bigger guy. It's like a featherweight fighting a super heavyweight.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Godfather, hug the godmom. You have a good day. I love you, and I miss you, and hopefully I'll get down to L.A. real soon. Of course, I was supposed to come down, but this fire thing sort of screwed things up. But hopefully we can get some normalcy in the next coming weeks, and I can come down and see you. I wish you the very best, and I thank you for your time. Over the years, you're my favorite guy. There's no doubt about that. I thank you for everything, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Baby Barry Rabbits after the break.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for
give
it?
You one postscript? After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
Hard, hard, hard music coming back. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Oleg Usyk and Mr. Tyson Fury doing the dance again, of course, a couple of weeks ago. It didn't seem to hurt Tyson Fury's market value because he could still fight Anthony Joshua and sell 90,000 seats in London and Wembley Stadium. Am I right?
Yeah, that was always going to happen, wasn't it? Eventually, that was kind of in their back pocket for later, I think.
It's like you could do it if they were 9 years old and they only had one arm, you could do this. You could pull that fight off.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, it's bound to happen. It's too much money, yeah?
What did Anthony Joshua bring to the dance at this point in time?
He can still fight, but yeah, I think he's on the slide now, isn't he?
Tommy D said now in number one that you can't question a heavyweight's chin. that heavyweights are hit with such force that you really can't question their chin. Anybody gets hit hard enough, you're going to get knocked out. Does Joshua have a soft chin?
I think he does a little bit, but I think, like I said before, I think he just falls apart mentally when he gets hit. He doesn't react properly. I mean, we've seen him get hit a lot without him going down, but when he gets hit hard, he kind of mentally falls apart. So
I think he sort of, it almost applies to with me, is that he gets hit with shots you don't see. The shots that he gets knocked down with, he doesn't see. I mean, that right hand that Dubois dealt, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He didn't see that coming.
No, he didn't, no.
And when you don't see punches coming, Barry, it's you wouldn't believe what it's like. I'm sitting there on the ground in Las Vegas when I got knocked down in the National Golden Gloves by Ernie Chavez at 147, stepped up in weight, and Newberry went back to junior welterweight. Anyway, boom, I couldn't believe it. The size differential, this and that. And when I got up and looked across the ring, there was eight of them. No, eight guys. I'm not kidding. There's only supposed to be one.
That seems unfair.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I look at the referee. There's like three referees. There's 11 people in the ring. There's only supposed to be three.
Yeah, just got to swing. Me and this referee.
Swing for all of them. What?
Huh? Swing for all of them.
No, but you don't see the punches coming, man. Those are the ones that, I mean.
And especially at heavyweight. I mean, those boys can punch. So.
Yeah, and look at, we were talking earlier about the career of Muhammad Ali. We talked about that when his last fight with Trevor Burbick, of course, with Logan Hobson, hour number one, the company box co-founder. You know, when you think of the heat that Ali took over the years and him not being able to talk later in life, that's not a coincidence.
No, not at all. That was a long, long, hard career, wasn't it?
Too hard, too long.
He could have skipped the last 10 fights probably.
And he would have still ended up messed up.
Yeah.
And I mean,
he'd still have been a Hall of Famer and, you know, the greatest.
But you know what I'm saying? But the residual effects, I could see them slightly before the Foreman fight and around the Foreman fight. I could just see them. In other words, you looked at them and things, you know what I'm saying? He was just a little bit off, just a little bit off. And then after the Foreman fight, a little bit off. And then after that third fight with Frazier, the thrill in Manila, he was done. You could stick a fork in him, and he never should have fought again.
Yeah, and he was fighting guys like Ernie Shavers at
Richard,
that point.
Richard Dunn?
Yeah, Richard Dunn as well.
Come on, Richard Dunn. You remember Richard Dunn?
I do. Englishman.
Yeah, he couldn't look a stab at you with his tongue.
Yeah. I can't remember how many rounds did that fight go.
I think four or five or something like that. Yeah. And then Ernie Shavers, you know what Larry told me? Larry Holmes told me about Larry Shavers, talked about getting hit with punches that you can't see.
Yeah.
He said that Ernie Shavers was the only guy in the world, in the history of the boxing, in his world, that you could see the punch coming and still get knocked down.
Yeah.
See, because I can see stuff coming. Somehow I mentally or physically prepare for the shot, bro. There's something about it. Boom, I've been hit really hard, but I can see it coming.
Yeah.
Is it when you can't see it coming, it's history. But he said, the exception to the rule was Ernie Shavers. Hardest puncher ever?
Yeah, you could definitely say that, couldn't you? Because he wasn't the greatest fighter, but he still caused problems. Just
harder than the former two-time world heavyweight champion that turned 76 last week, George Foreman?
It's a tough one. I mean, I think George Foreman is probably more consistent, isn't he, with his punches, but everything Foreman.
You know, George Foreman set Michael Moore up. He pimped him off. You know that, right? George told me, he goes, I kept waiting. I see. He goes, I was going to pull the trigger on about the third round. But I kept waiting. I let him beat up on me a little bit more. And George told me, and then when I worked, boom! And there was no doubt about what happened at that point in time.
Oh, no. I don't think he won a round before that, though, did he?
No, I don't think he did. That was his whole game plan.
Yeah.
It was to lull this guy into sleep, because Michael Moore didn't take that good a shot.
No, I mean, he was a light heavyweight originally. I think Moore would have made a fantastic cruiserweight, actually.
Speaking of light heavyweight, I think he was undefeated, like 25-0, 25 knockouts.
I'd loved him as a light heavyweight. Yeah, he just wanted to take your head off.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is that I told you he was a bomb builder. Did I tell you that?
He built
bombs. In other words, he used to build bombs. He lived with Emanuel Stewart in Detroit.
Yeah.
Emanuel Stewart was his trainer, the retired, the late Cronk Jim Goldfather. So anyway, Michael Moore is living in one of the rooms there. I stayed in one of the rooms too. So Michael Moore is living in one of the rooms and he's building bombs. He built a bomb in his room. I mean, like an explosive device, okay? And he took it out and set it on the fence, on Emanuel's fence, and it blew the fence off.
Yeah, no, Moore was a pretty intense guy, wasn't he?
He was nuts!
I kind of liked him, though. I was always a big fan of Moore.
He was nuts!
He was nuts, yeah.
But he didn't handle the Foreman loss too well, though.
No. I mean, that was kind of embarrassing, wasn't it? Foreman was, what, 44?
45.
45?
You know what he's famous for? I said this an hour and a half, so I'm repeating myself, right?
What's that?
Getting knocked out by an old man.
Yeah.
Oh!
But again, he shouldn't have hopped over cruiserweight. I think he would have made a great cruiserweight.
Do we need to take a break? Okay, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. You think Jaya Pattaya, the Australian guy, is a real deal at 200 pounds, huh?
Oh, I do, yeah, yeah. I mean, beating both those fights with Bredis were tough.
Yeah, and, but the guy he fought last night was about my caliber. Take that back.
He was green, but...
Green?
I think he was an Olympic bronze medalist, though.
Yeah, whatever he was, though, he fought a bunch of bumps. I went through his record there, 0-2-0. He fought one guy that was like 10-30 or something like that.
He came in as a replacement, didn't he?
Was he a replacement?
It was a late, last-minute replacement kind of thing. He just jumped at it, so...
Former sparring partner?
Yeah, yeah. I think he was expecting it to come a couple of years down the line, but went for it, but a little too early, huh?
That'll be a decision he might regret later in life.
Possibly, because that was a nasty knockout.
Yeah, because he's not a bad-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he's got other options. He's kind of...
we'll see. back to Tyson Fury and Oleg Usyk. How did you score that fight?
I scored it 115-114 for Fury. But I feel like both fights could have gone either way. So I think I said to you before, I think Fury's going to get a little short-changed in the history books, a bit like Triple G did with Canelo. I think when people look back, they look at the black and white, the result. But those fights were close.
You know, you shouldn't bring. Why do you bring up Canelo and ruin my day? Why do you know that I'm not a big fan of the Mexican superstar?
Got to throw him in there.
I mean, you know, but say, you know, if you run into Canelo Alvarez, run into him with a truck.
Right.
Okay. I mean, not a car, a truck. Okay, I mean, he's like, what did Paulie say? He put the biggest duck job in the history of boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
In the history of boxing. I mean, imagine Joe Frazier saying, well, you know, I'm the champion, but I'm not going to fight Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why. I think at some point Benavidez might have upset him and he took it a bit personally, decided he's not going to give him the payday. That's part of what I think it is.
No, I think that Benavidez would have lit him up like a White House Christmas tree. You see, here's what's up. Basically, in my book, Canelo peaked out at 154. I thought that everything after 154, the 160 fights I thought the first fight with Triple G probably won that fight, this
definitely,
and that.
Definitely.
Okay, and he got shafted there, and then they sort of screwed him down there. I mean, they were. Triple G didn't get the props he deserved because he beat Canelo. That should have been a trilogy where they went back and forth, loss, 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 win. That kind of stuff. You know.
I scored both fights for Triple G, but the first fight. He definitely won. The second fight, I can see Canelo winning again.
He faded off into relative obscurity, didn't he?
He did really. He sort of fizzled out, didn't he?
There was Tom Loeffler promoting him down there in Southern California, and then I think he broke away from Loeffler and this and that. And from that point forward, he went nowhere. No. Who was the guy that was training him? The Mexican guy that trained the Norris brothers.
Oh up in the hills there.
Abel Sanchez. Abel told me that.
Okay, I mean, he was never quite the same after that, was he? But I think he was worn out. I think he lost to Derevyanchenko. I think that was very close.
Abel Sanchez had the Norris brothers.
Yeah.
At one point, I remember when Terry Norris got knocked out by Simon Brown, okay? So I said to myself, this is it. So when Simon Brown fought Terry Norris in the rematch, right? I don't bet on fights, but I said to myself, I'm going to bet on this fight. Who do you think I bet on?
You went for Brown again,
didn't you? Yeah! He didn't win a minute.
I know. I was kind of surprised. I expected Brown to win again. Yeah,
he didn't win a minute.
Because he was knocking him all over the ring in the
first
fight.
But didn't win a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Norris was a great boxer, but he was so unpredictable.
Yeah, well, that...
Shaky temper, shaky chin.
Shaky chin.
And then the fights
with Luis Santana. Santana was handled by Elvis Phillips, who runs the glove company. I can't think of the last name.
Yeah.
Grant Phillips Gloves. All right. So anyway, Luis Santana gets knocked down and supposedly by a low blow, and this guy tells him, stay there. Don't get up. So they disqualified him the first time. They swallowed him. Wasn't there two discus?
Yeah. And then he knocked him out in the third one.
Do you know how much money Santana made?
Probably there was a good little payday for him because he was
three in a row.
Yeah. No, he did well out of that.
No, that's Grant.
Norris couldn't hold his punches back, could he? He knocked Leonard.
The Grant Phillips guy. I'll never forget. We were in Arizona one time for a Manny Stewart brought me down there for a light heavyweight fight with Dennis Andres, and I can't remember who the other guy was. Okay. Anyway, he said, you're going to share a room with this guy, right? And I don't share rooms with people.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that too well, all right? So anyway, I'm sharing a room with Grant Phillips, and I smell this funky smell. You know, I'm used to smelling funky smells. I'm a cop. He was an ex-cop. You walk down the street, you smell a lot of stuff, right? You know, I couldn't figure out what that smell was. Smell of something burning, right? He was using Nair. Nair, that hair remover. Hair remover? He was burning off the hairs under his arm.
Really?
Yeah, he had it. Well, so when I walked by the bathroom, he had his hands up in the air like a boxer, like Rocky.
Right,
you know
what
I'm saying, why in the duck is this guy's arms up in the air? Well, he was letting his armpits, like, you know, he had the nair there, and they were burning the hair away. So,
I don't know,
but you know what I said to Emmanuel at that point, trying, get me the puck out of here right now. Okay, I didn't spend the night with Grant Phillips. I don't share rooms. You like sharing rooms?
Not really. No.
No.
I stayed over in the travelers' hostels over here in the early days, and yeah, you get tired of that pretty quick.
Yeah, I remember in the Olympic Training Center, they said to me, "You're gonna share rooms with this guy." I said, "I don't really want to share rooms." And they say, "You ain't got a choice, son." I said, "Okay, I'll go along with the program." Bottom line was, yeah, but your roommates.
It's right when you're a kid, isn't it? But huh? Once you're an adult, you don't really want to be sharing.
Yeah, you know, even, I don't think even when you're a kid, I don't want to sleep around people. I'm like a metrosexual to an extent. I'm really clean and super clean as far as personal hygiene, that kind of stuff is concerned.
Yeah,
and
no,
I just don't want people, somebody in the other room, fart, somebody across the room from me farting. I don't like
that. Yeah, no.
Okay, we're not talking farting. We're talking boxing. I threw a question at you a couple weeks ago that I thought Ray Robinson might have been hooked up with Blinky Palermo. Now, you're a boxing historian. Is there any merit to that, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, not anything I've read. I've read a couple of Robinson biographies. I don't recall anything coming up, but then it was a while ago since I've read them. So, but yeah, I don't think
Blinky
so.
Blinky Palermo and Frankie Carbo, they ran boxing. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did they not run Ray Robinson?
I don't think they had everyone, did they? Yeah.
They didn't have Marciano.
No.
And that's what Custiomato's big thing was. That's why Custiomato didn't want Marciano fighting certain guys, is that he didn't want the mob being involved.
Okay.
That's why he fought a whole lot. I mean, let's be honest, Marciano fought some stiffs.
Yeah, I mean, he fought a lot of older guys as well.
Yeah,
I mean, even his big wins, they were older.
34.6, 34.8 years, I think, was the average age of his title opponents.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty old.
He was tough as nails, but yeah.
49-0, he can't dispute the record, but I think that he saw that the tide was about to change. He went through hell with Archie Moore. Archie Moore was an aging light heavyweight, old guy, close to 40, okay? And he got knocked down, went through all kinds of hell with him. I think he realized the writing was on the wall, and he couldn't push the envelope no more.
No. And Sonny Liston was looming, wasn't he, at the time? So I can't see Marciano getting through Liston. So.
Is it fair to compare him with modern indie heavyweights because of the size factor?
Of Marciano?
Yeah.
He's a cruiserweight at best, wasn't he? What was he, like 189 or
something? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'd been a fantastic cruiserweight, wouldn't he? But I think he still could have fought heavyweights.
I watched that play fight him and Muhammad Ali had.
Yeah, right? I remember
There was like three endings to it, and they showed the only one they showed on the official theater, it was like you went to a theater and watched this, was when Marciano knocked out Ali.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the only one they showed. But they had three different endings to it. Ali told me there was three endings to that fight. He goes, they didn't show none of the ones that I won.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't see Marciano beating Ali. But
speaking of Ali, when you looked back into the career of Muhammad Ali, and we got about a minute left here, you and I think he should have quit 10, maybe 12 fights earlier, this and that. He was the greatest orator of the 20th century. Do you think he was? I think he was the greatest speaker of the 20th century.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, super entertaining, wasn't he? So, yeah.
But more eloquent than any. I mean, him and Kennedy, maybe. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about the great orators of the 20th century.
Sure.
Probably John Kennedy, probably in Muhammad Ali. I mean, I can't think of any other guys that are up in that league.
No, that he could certainly talk. Yeah, yeah. It's a shame that, what ended up.
Well, you know, Parkinson's. The Parkinson's syndrome. He didn't have Parkinson's disease. He had Parkinson's syndrome, which I found out was the root result of him taking too many punches. No doubt about that. Anyway, we're running up here on a hard break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Impeccable One is back from Rio. Listen, let me tell you, my producer, last week he pulls in, I got COVID, right? Hey, somebody shot me some pictures, some PI shot me some pictures of him on the beach in Rio. So we're going to, you know, come on, man. Don't lie to me.
You pay him too well.
I'll bottomize all them chicks, man. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process.
Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One last question. At the end of your life, whether it was Allah who was saying it, Elijah Muhammad, or whether it was something that someone wrote about you after you'd gone, what's the thing you would most like people to say about your life? He was a great champion, or what? What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
January 13, 1976, Bobby Boogaloo Watts gave Marvin Hagler his first loss in Philadelphia, a controversial 10-round decision, a majority decision. Marvin got robbed then. Of course, Marvin would come back and beat Boogaloo Watts. In fact, the only guy that Marvin lost to and hadn't beaten was Ray Leonard. Of course, that was 1987 when they hooked it up for the world middleweight title. I scored that 575 for Ray. How did you score that? Do you remember?
I did score it for Leonard. I wish I could say the other way around, but yeah, I think he squeaked it.
You know, Lou Filippo was the judge, the referee from L.A., former fighter, that scored it for Hagler, 115-113. So he and I argued like in about nine, all over the world. We run into each other at airports. We love each other, you know what I'm saying? But we're arguing about the score.
Yeah.
And God, those guys were really good guys. Larry Rosadia, all those guys, those L.A. referees, Dr. James Jenkin. I think he's still alive, but the Korean doctor, those guys are really, really good guys, wonderful guys. They took care of me growing up here when I was, growing up as a reporter, and I needed that. I mean, you gotta have friends to excel in this business, without a doubt. And of course, the referees were always good to me. I was good to them, but I called them on it, and they pulled something bad. Like John Shirley went to John Shirley and I were tight for decades. I mean, he was a guy from Sacramento, and now he's living in Texas. And he did that Katie Taylor-Amanda Serrano fight. I thought he should have been banned from boxing after that fight. I mean, I thought he did the worst job he could ever do. And when he went into Taylor's corner, he said to her, "You're better than that. Don't butter. You're better than that." What kind of crap is that, man?
Is that the second fight? Or the...
Yeah, that was the second. Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't even see the second
fight. Oh, lucky you.
Oh, really?
That was bad cornering. Really, it's like bad. Tim Zhu. Why didn't they stop the fight? I mean, she was cutting her eye. You can see the impeccable one was in the other room. He watched the fight. He said he had to turn away. It looked like you could see bone underneath through her cut.
Yeah. No, that sounds nasty.
That is gnarly. Speaking of women, Carisha Shields is going to be, she's fighting now as a heavyweight now. Of course, she's going to fight some girl in a couple of weeks, this and that. I don't praise her. Why do you think that is?
I think she puts a few people off. I kind of like her too as well. And she proved it to me that she was the best out there when she beat what's the English girl's name? I can't remember.
Well, without
big,
a doubt.
Big matchup a couple of years ago. Big punch in English.
Okay. David Benavidez is a slight favorite over Eric Morrell. Eric Morrell is a 136 plus 136 underdog. And David Benavidez is a minus 166 favorite. You're like a Morrell here. The guy's only got 11 fights. How can you say that?
I think that amateur background and just from what I've seen, I don't think he's even started going through the gears yet in his pro career. I think he's, like I say, I can see this fight playing out a little bit like Roy Jones and James Toney. I think Morrell being in Jones' place. I
was there that night.
Yeah. I mean, Jones was fantastic.
Toney didn't win a minute.
No, I think he messed up with his weight, didn't he? He rocked Jones, actually. Some of the eighth round, he rocked him.
James Toney had weight issues, and he probably shouldn't. You know, I mean, the 160 was like, wow, he used to kill himself to make 160. Yeah, and 168, yeah, he killed himself to make 168. He was a guy that was totally, he didn't discipline himself as well as he could have. And you know what, when you hear him now,
he
sounds pretty rambled. He sounds pretty scrambled.
That was a long career, wasn't it? I mean, he had great defense.
He fought heavyweights.
Yeah, I think the heavyweight part of his career was probably what did the damage, to be honest with you. And the fact that he didn't keep it stay in shape. But
a lot of guys didn't keep in shape between fights. Roberto Duran was notorious for that. Freddie Brown used to go down to Panama and tell him, "We're going to fight in a month." And they didn't even have a fight on the boards.
Yeah. I mean, Tony kept in shape by fighting all the time. That was his thing. I mean, he was always fighting, wasn't he, early in his career? I mean, he fought like Mike McCallum, Michael Nunn, Reggie Johnson, plus more, all in 1 year.
Yeah, when he knocked out Michael Nunn, though, in Davenport, Iowa, he went in there, and Jackie Kalin was his manager, the female manager of the year a couple of different times. But she sent me this. She was sending me, like, faxes. I mean, they got faxes back then. Yeah. And my guy's going to knock out Michael Nunn, this and blah, blah, blah. And it's on TVKO. I think it was the first ever card on TVKO. TVKO was 1995. That was the HBO arm of pay-per-view. That was the first foray into the world of pay-per-view.
It
was 1995. It was their first broadcast. And boom, Michael Nunn, a 5 or 6, maybe 7-1 favorite, gets knocked out.
Yeah, Tony was pretty unknown at the time, wasn't he? I think he was known in the gyms, but I don't think, that kind of came as a shock. And he was losing that fight, too, but... Tony was a great fighter.
Okay, back to Morrell and Benavidez. Did Benavidez maybe peak in between fights in the last couple of fights? The reason why I say that is, you know, he looked like a fat Santa Claus a couple of months ago. You know, a fat Mexican Santa Claus. I hate to put it to you like that, but how else can I put it?
Yeah. No, I think super middleweight was probably his peak. I don't think he's got quite the same size over people. I mean, he looks small against Gavodzic, so.
Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports.
So they say.
All right. The current state of boxing as we enter 2025, are you optimistic that the boxing will make a bit of a comeback this year? Because it seems like all the guys aren't fighting the guys they should fight, and people are becoming disinterested. And I want to ask you this. Do you know anybody of the 1.5 million that bought the pay-per-view, Oleg Usyk and Tyson Fury? Do you know anybody that bought the pay-per-view of the 1.5 million? Do you know any of those people?
I don't, actually. No.
So how the hell did everybody... I tried to put the impeccable one on the lie detector in the other room. How did he watch it? I ain't taking the lie detector.
Yeah. I think I might have paid for that one myself, actually. I may have
a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think I paid for that
did
one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sucker. So, did I really say that? Yeah. Oh!
And that wasn't a great undercard either.
It
wasn't the greatest undercard
either. Well, you know, undercards, without a doubt, man, undercards are, like, big as far as boxing is concerned. Let's be honest. You know, if there weren't undercards... Yeah, I mean, I think of like the Tommy Hearns Wilfred Benitez fight. That was horrible, but yet underneath was Wilfredo Gomez and Lupe Pintor, probably the fight of the decade.
Yeah, yeah. And you got this one coming up in Riyadh on February 22nd, where you got seven headline fights, basically.
Are you big on the Turkish guy doing his thing here, or what?
Not really, no. But at the same time, you can't argue that these fights are getting made. But yeah, I don't really like it. But no. I don't like the fights being in Riyadh either. So
okay, but back to Benavidez and Morrell. The undercard: Brendan Figueroa and Stephen Fulton. Figueroa roll on that one.
Yeah, he deserved to win the first one with Fulton. I'm a big fan of Figueroa. He's awkward and ungainly, but he rolls over people.
Fulton can't punch, can he?
No. He's kind of a, yeah, especially now he's moved up in weight. So
okay. Mirko Coelho, 14, is it, taking on Christian Barada. Barada's 21-22-101. Yonoi Hernandez versus Angel Ruiz Astorga. Isaac Cruz, the pit bull, 26-3, taking on Angel Farrell. Angel Farrell is ranked number 82, and Pitbull is ranked number 21, according to the computer. Is there that much of a disparity between these two guys?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the other guy, to be honest with you. But I think Pitbull is kind of limited himself, isn't he? I think he's a.
I always thought he was a fat junior lightweight fighting at 135 or 140.
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't be fighting at 140 anyway. I think he went up for the opportunity, didn't he?
But he's making money.
Yeah, he's doing well.
But he's making money, and he's a name opponent that people could look good against.
And he always brings it, doesn't he? So he comes to fight, so people
want to
see
him. Bringing it, man. Bam Rodriguez, pound for pound, the best fighter in the world, maybe? Him and Inouye?
Soon, yeah. I think he's right up there. I think
Does he eventually fight? Well, Inouye doesn't want to fight Junto Nakatani, the WBC 118-pound champion. He was like 29. The guy's got a great record, scored some fabulous knockouts, isn't that, for a Japanese fighter. Yeah. Inouye does not even have him on the radar, and Rudy Hernandez is pissed off about that, his trainer.
I think he does. I think it'll be coming up soon. Yeah, I think that'd be a huge fight in Japan. So,
will you go to Japan with me for that? Would you fly?
Possibly.
I was going to go back. Listen, that Inouye, the Goodman guy.
Yeah,
he got me in trouble. Let me tell you why. I was going to buy tickets to go see Inouye fight December 24th. I'm going to spend Christmas in Japan the whole 9 years. Had this planned out, so I'm looking at it. It's going to cost me $2,000. Yeah. Man, that's a lot of money for a 3-day trip. You know what I'm saying? A lot of money for a 2-day trip, blah, blah, blah. And then somehow I back away from it. Then the fight was postponed a month. So I said to myself, well, maybe I'll go in January. So I looked and then it was like even more expensive, right? Yeah, so I backed off and now Goodman, of course, cut twice in a row. Is that really a bad inept corner or is that just bad luck? It's an inept corner, ain't it?
Yeah, possibly. It seems, like I said, I think it was the last sparring session, wasn't it? So it could have been just bad luck, but... Yeah, it is what it is, huh?
Okay, let's talk about Beterbev and Bivol, Dmitry Bivol. Of course, Artur Beterbev undefeated now, like 19-0 with 18 knockouts or 20-0 with 18 or 19 knockouts. Of course, the only guy he hasn't knocked out is Dmitry Bivol. Bivol going 12 rounds with him and losing across the board. How'd you score that?
I scored that on a draw.
Really?
Yeah. Same as the first Fury-Usyk fight. Just goes to show when the number one, number two fight, it's always pretty tight, usually anyway.
Do you think there was a lack of intensity in that fight on Bivol's part?
I don't think so. I think it felt that way because watching the fights from Riyadh, there was no atmosphere. But I think if you'd had a proper crowd there,
that's another thing, Buff. It's like watching a fight in Japan. I went to a fight in Japan. Yeah. You know, I could hear the guy fart in the fourth row, and I was in the 20th row.
Yeah, it's a weird atmosphere. Yeah. So I think that fight, if it was in the US or in the UK or... You'd have had a roaring crowd, and it would have felt more intense.
Okay, Barry Rabbits is in the studio, of course. We call him the British Harry. He's our British boxing expert extraordinaire. Is this Sheik guy? Is he good for boxing? The Turkey guy, the Saudi Arabian guy with the big checkbook.
I think time will tell. I think at the moment it's great. We're getting great fights, but it feels like it's sucking the life out of boxing everywhere else.
But you just brought it up, man. Let me tell you, if people aren't reacting to a fight is not worth... I mean, I just can't watch a fight. You know, it would be like turning off the TV totally. Now, I used to do that with certain TV teams I didn't agree with. I would turn the volume down and try to score the fight myself. Yeah. But we almost have to do that with these fights because there's no... Is it the ambiance? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere is just non-existent, isn't it? It's kind of, there's no drink there, is there? No alcohol allowed, so that's probably part of it. So, but yeah, I find it very weird watching that. That Bivol Beterbiev fight was weird.
I told
to
you,
watch.
You know, that's the only, when I went over to Dubai, you know, that's the only place I'd ever taken weed in the world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take any.
I wasn't going to do that, man.
You
might not be coming back.
Yeah, and I'll never forget. I remember, I got food poisoning from booze on the way on the flight over, right? So I went to a doctor over there. And the doctor said, what can I do for you? Go, give me a Valium. He goes, are you a drug addict? I said, no. I said, just give me a Valium. I said, you know, I'm tweaking out. I'm anxiety, the whole nine yards. I said, the travel, the whole nine yards. I said, just give me a Valium. It'll be fine. He goes, no, I think we're going to observe you for 12 hours. I go, kiss my ass. I'm leaving.
Yeah. No Valium for you. Huh?
No Valium for Pedro. And I wasn't bringing any weed there. I brought weed to China.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That was a bit of a gamble.
I guess it was. But that wasn't that was too.
Like, Midnight Express with your heartbeat going?
Well, no, not the first time, but the second time. Okay, second time I did. You know, it's like, of course, that was when I went there one time. I can't think of his name, but the manager of Mark Gastineau. Rick Parker, Ricky Elvis Parker. I was an ex-cop, so I smelled crack. I smelled crack on one of the floors. I said to myself, you know, Pete, that's the cop in you, man. You're smelling crack. You're smelling crack from the ghetto 10, 12 years. Man, you are a deplorable human being smelling crack. And they were smoking crack.
No, they were.
Because I was in the disco downstairs, and Rick Parker walks up to me. I got this beautiful Chinese girl. Her name was Hong Song. That was her name. She was her Japanese name, Chinese name. And she was United Airlines stewardess. So I got this beautiful girl with me, and Rick comes over and he goes, hey, let's go upstairs and party. I said, cool. And he goes, yeah, I got some blow. And I went, ah! So I got the girl and I got the taxi cab and I said, drive.
Bye-bye.
She couldn't say anything. She goes, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? I said, no. I said, the guy's got cocaine. And she went quiet. She didn't say another word because she knew the cocaine is a death penalty over there. Rick didn't give Smith. Of course, Rick got killed by, was it Terry Anderson?
The
heavyweight fighter killed him. Of course, he's the one that got Anderson threw the first Gastineau fight or something like that, and then something went down, and of course, you know, Rick Parker didn't pay him, and he killed him.
Okay. Who was it that flattened Gastineau?
Elvis Parker, but you know how he made his money? Remember that that magic green cleaner about 20 years ago where you buy it and it cleans anything, it polishes anything?
Oh, no.
He was the guy that came up with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So Rick Parker wasn't a dummy. Let's go to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialists right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands, guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
It wasn't Dr. Fernandez that caught him down there in Rio. It was Investigator Fernandez that caught the impeccable one in Rio. I told you, you backed out of me last week, right? Got pictures of him in Rio with chicks. Rio de Janeiro, okay? The Marin County guy.
Fair play to him.
What?
Fair play to him.
Anyway, bottom line, let's talk about some of the stuff Frank sent me here. Referee that passed away in 2024. Tony Orlando passed away September 15, 2024. Custy Amato was born on January 17, 1908. Jackie McCoy died in, where is it here? January 14th, where's Jackie McCoy here? Jackie McCoy was somewhere. Anyway, Jackie McCoy died. He was really cool. Jackie McCoy passed away in 1997, January 13th, at the age of 73. He was really cool, like a Hollywood type of guy, no doubt about that. Of course, he handled a lot of guys, including Carlos Palomino. Speaking of Palomino, Palomino on January 14, 1979, went to Puerto Rico and got shorted against Wilfredo Benitez, I thought was a bit of a hometown decision. The rematch, of course, it never happened. Instead, they fed him They fed Palomino to Roberto Duran. That was a cold shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
That was a cold. And Duran was mean at that point in time. Coming, he definitely wanted to make it a person.
Yeah.
Closing thoughts. 2025 going to be better than 2024? Boxing sort of sucked this year.
Yeah, it was a little weak, wasn't it? I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how Riyadh season goes. I mean, that's a great start in February, so... But I don't see much else lined up, to be honest.
Dana White's kicking the spit out of boxing. You know that? He's drawing 20,000 people every other week.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't get into that whole
Neither
thing.
Can I, but no. The bottom line is the majority of people looks like they're going in that direction.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank you for coming down. You're the greatest man, no doubt about that. Enjoy the wares.
I'm sure you will.
We take care of our guests here. I can't tell you what the package is that we can go away with, but they all get some type of souvenir package. What do they call it? When you give a guy a prize for showing up or something for showing up. Anyway, bottom line is, Barry, you are the greatest. We thank you so much, my brother.
No worries. Appreciate it.
And the impeccable ones in the other room, I didn't get to let him talk today, but I missed you last week. Without a doubt, we couldn't do the show without you, but I'm very jealous of the Rio thing. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.